Tomo, obviously, he tweeted, he said Wilder out. I think there was just a heat of the moment thing. Turn your fucking phone off, blood.
It's my wife, mate. That's the thing. I've just cancelled her and I just sent her a message. I'm in a pod.
You can't turn her on anyway. You might as well turn her off.
Can I?
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, Patreons. It's your first Q&A of 2021. Let's get into it, James, shall we?
I suppose so.
No messing around. Let's just get straight into it. We've got quite a few questions to get through, so let's...
We got into 2021 and that wasn't necessarily a good thing. Let's get rid of 2020. Oh, right, yeah, Boris is talking at 8 o'clock tonight, is he? Okay.
Well, it is what it is at the moment. So, first up, Lookman has a question. James, you mentioned you could bench 4 blank game week 29 players in 26 and make 3 free transfers to get 7 players for 29. This is if you're using a wild card in 26, right? But if you wild card in 25, you could get 8 players, right?
It's very, very true. You can also take some hits along the way as well. So it's just basic thinking in terms of preparation for 29 that, yes, if you wild carded in 26, you could leave 4 on the bench you're playing in 29. You've got a single game. And then you've got 3 transfers to get up to 7. I think 7 in a blank week that's only going to have 4 or 5 fixtures is always quite reasonable. I always tend to get there and then take a -4 for something anyway, but there'll be no fucking Chris Methams or any shit like that this time, mate. None of that -4 for defenders, but for attacking players or to get the best captain in or something like that, yeah.
All over it. Yeah, there we go. That, I'm assuming that's a follow-up from the stream on Friday. Harbour Boy, what do we think Newcastle will do now that they have 2 really good, fit goalkeepers? Might they go the way of Arsenal and cash one of them in? I don't see why they would. I mean, I think Darlow and Dubravka are both very good goalkeepers. But you saw what happened with Flappy Hansky on Friday night, right? And we've had Randolph sitting there. I think Randolph is good enough to play for a lot of teams. He's a decent goalkeeper. Fabianski's pushing 34, 35. Randolph himself's no spring chicken at 32. But it shows the importance of having a fit and ready, decent second goalkeeper. I mean, take Chelsea right now, right? I mean, they're on a bad run anyway. If Mendy gets injured, I mean, they've got no hope of top 4. So I think you need 2 good goalkeepers. When Fabi got injured last year, like the likes of Roberto and shit like that, come on, man. We're not having it. So I think they'll keep him.
The problem is, most teams have only got 1 good goalkeeper and the disparity between first choice and backup is large. So Liverpool's great choice. It's a problem if Alisson gets injured. Chelsea's a problem. Tottenham's a problem. Arsenal is now a problem. Manchester United's not a problem with someone like Dean Henderson sitting there as number 2. Your boy Stefan at City yesterday looks relatively composed, other than the fact he decided to pick up a back pass in the first few minutes. Other than that, I mean, he was relatively untroubled. But sometimes just the way a goalkeeper carries themselves, you know, he didn't look nervous on set pieces. He was talking and things like that would make you think, yeah, that's probably okay as well. Just a note on goalkeepers while we talk about it. There's probably going to be a couple of patrons and obviously a number of other people have got McCarthy and Fabianski as their goalkeepers ahead of a potential bench boost in game week 19. Don't panic. The first thing is Flappy might be back for Burnley is the early indication. And if McCarthy's got COVID now, he won't have it by the time the first game of game week 19 comes around. So you'd be all right. So don't worry too much about that sort of thing at the moment. On Darlow, gets better every time I see him, I think. I think there was at the start of the season, he was making a lot of saves. But there were other ones where I think he should have saved and didn't and vice versa. And I think there was a lot of it of, oh, I'm just kind of keeping the gloves warm here a bit. Whereas now he's gone on long enough and his performance has been improving. He's probably thinking, oh, I can hold on to the shirt now, actually. There's no real reason for him to come out the team. No. He's been doing fine. So, I mean, if it gets to the summer and that's still the case for Newcastle, then one of them's going to want to ask questions. Because one thing sitting on a Premier League bench, there's another thing sitting on a Premier League bench at Newcastle. And there are plenty that would take Dubravka or Dalo. So that probably would come to a head in the summer for either one of them. It's probably just a case of which one the Newcastle want to keep. Similar to, I mean, Arsenal had to make that call, really. Mm. Martinez was so good in the restart period. He couldn't be ignored. It was either he's going to keep the shirt or he's going to go somewhere.
Yep.
And Arsenal made the choice, I think, that if you went back to Easter period, they wouldn't have got 50p for Martinez and suddenly have got 20 million for him.
Mm.
A sellable asset they didn't believe they had, so took the money. And yep. It would probably be the same for Newcastle.
We've got a few questions in here from Ben Miller. We'll try and keep him snappy. Would Grealish have had the same impact on Manchester United that Bruno is having? And vice versa, would Bruno have had the same impact on Villa?
It's probably reasonable to say no for both, actually.
I feel like there's not much in it between them as players, but I do feel like the actual answer at the end of it is no.
I think with Grealish is the identity of being Villa's man. And now Fernandes has been identified as United's man. I think if Grealish had gone to United in January, there's a fair chance that Pogba would still be playing 10 and Grealish would be playing off the left. And you'd possibly have Rashford on the right or through the middle.
Yeah.
So would that have had the same impact? No, probably not, to be honest. And I don't think Grealish himself couldn't fix that Villa problem in a restart. It's easy to forget. In the first 7 or 8 games of the restart in June, July, Jack Grealish was shit.
Mm.
He was poor. It was every pod we were like, you need to find a solution to make him better. Have to find
a
solution.
They have now, and he is much better.
Oh, yeah. Like, to be honest, probably it changed from the Arsenal game, which was midweek 37 last year. Then he played well against you in game week 38, and this season he's obviously been phenomenal.
Yeah.
So if Fernandes could have made that impact at Villa any better, it's hypothetical. Probably not, to be honest, probably not.
Ben also asks if Bruno is the best Manchester United signing since Cantona. I don't think you can. So there's two ways of looking at it. So you've got Cristiano Ronaldo, who has since gone on to become arguably like top 2 or 3 players ever, who was bought after Eric Cantona. You've got Wayne Rooney, who ended up becoming the club's record goal scorer. So I don't know if you can say that when Bruno's only been there a year. But then at the same side, if you look at it from who's had the most impact on the team, they both joined a team that was winning titles and absolutely top of their game. Whereas Bruno's joined when they are just about getting into the top 4 and are now looking like potentially they could take Liverpool as close as anyone could this season. So Bruno's possibly had to have the biggest impact on the team, but I think it's still early to say that he's going to be as big a signing as Cantona when the likes of Ronaldo and Rooney have come in during that time as well.
Yeah, spot on. And I mean, there's others. Edwin van der Sar, after years of difficult goalkeeper problems, Jaap Stam, Rio Ferdinand, there's so many other players, Ruud van Nistelrooy, so many other players, even you could say Van Persie, to get Ferguson's last title, for example. There's loads of players you could miss off that list. I think the Fernandes to Cantona comparison comes about because they were both winter signings. Cantona joined in December in 92, and it obviously elevated them to a different level. And Fernandes is elevating United to a different level through his individual but teamwork ethic.
Well, if we're talking about winter signing, surely Alexis Sanchez got to get chucked into the conversation.
Yes,
right?
Of course. Alexis Sanchez, absolutely worthwhile being in that conversation.
Maybe on talent, but maybe not on impact.
I get the comparison, but I don't think you can quite make the overall, considering, especially the players you mentioned, Serge.
FPL Achilles says, James, what do you make of PSG's new appointment with Maurizio Pochettino? I was surprised that he took that job, I'll be honest with you. There are certain managers that are happy to do 2 or 3 years here and move somewhere else, 2 or 3 years here and move somewhere else. And that job feels like a job that's yours for a couple of years. And if you don't continuously win the Champions League and the domestic title, you're going to get fired. And I didn't feel like Pochettino's at that stage in his career where he'll chop and change and be happy to. I feel like he needs to imprint his footprint on the club from top to bottom. So I was surprised that he took that job, and I don't feel like it's a good match, if you know what I mean.
I spoke about the issue for United if he'd have gone there, in terms of it would probably be more pain before it, and eventually it would be very good. With PSG, you basically judged on whams in the Champions League. Now, I think they're joint third or something at the moment, PSG, in Ligue 1. Look, this just still pits it. It's not a major problem. Mm. So for Pochettino, I would look at it and go, it's an easy chance to go in the door there and get rid of the everyone's like, oh, he's won nothing.
Yeah.
So for those, you know, if he's thinking of going to Real Madrid in the future or United in the future, that whole thing of he's won nothing, he can put that to bed in the next 5 months or so. So I think that's important. He gets a shot at the Champions League, which if they beat Barcelona in the last 16, which I would expect them to do so, then you're in the quarterfinals, you got a shot. They were in the final last year. I mean, what if he wins the Champions League this year, mate? PSG is never going to be... If you're a great manager, let's be honest, you ain't staying there forever, mate, because it's too fucking boring. You would... I mean, if you won the Champions League with them, you'd go, thanks very much.
I'm off now.
There's my notice. Mm. I'm leaving. Yeah. There's nothing else to do here, right?
His stock could not be higher at the point that he wins the Champions League with them. Yeah,
of course not. No. So, you're right. He's only signed an 18-month contract. He gets two shots at winning the Champions League. He gets... if you include their cup competition, but I've got a League Cup as well, I think. He's got six competitions that he can win in the next 2 years domestically as well. So he's going to put that to bed. I think it's great for him. And it's easy to forget as well. It's one of his clubs, so he did play there as well.
Okay, yeah, fair.
So it's not like he's got no connection with that club. He played there for quite a while as well. So he feels like this is one of his clubs. He was always being linked there when he was our manager as well, in terms of every time it came up, it'd be like, oh, well, he played there, his natural link. So he's been out of work for over a year, which is too long for someone of his quality, but hopefully he's refreshed himself and he'll do well. Most of us don't particularly like them as a club because of what they've become and how they've done it, but I obviously hope he does very well.
Clean sheet wipeout Matt, who says, who do you think will be one of the most surprising and under-owned assets of blank game week 18. Pick a player.
Or Bumba Blank. I mean, we did that free hit pod this morning. We didn't mention his name.
I'm going to
stagger him, really.
I think it's going to be an Arsenal player. You're right. I was going to say something like Pepe's going to score two goals or something stupid like that. And he'll be criminally under-owned.
Rian Brewster goes mental off on everybody's bench.
You can see it happening. Angus McPhail says, just how disappointed should... This is not a question, James, so we're just going to read it and we'll move on. Just how disappointed should other Premier League clubs, and then he says, including West Ham, be that Manchester United triggered a one-year extension on Jesse Lingard's contract? The young, sprightly Jesse Lingard. I mean, why do you think they've done it?
Transfer fee. It's obvious. You get nothing from him in the summer. Sell him now, get money.
Yeah,
this is we say so much in football, right? Player power. This is a club power move. Mm. Club's gone, we'll re-sign you. Great. I don't know if he gets more money or not. Probably not. You get that a lot in contracts at the moment. Tottenham had this with Alderweireld and Vertonghen, where Tottenham could trigger automatic extra year, basically. And it's to stop the whole Bosman thing and all that. So does Jesse Lingard want to sit on his bum at Manchester United for another 18 months? Or does he want to go somewhere and United get 15 million for him or something?
Mm.
I mean, some Premier League club will take him. It's not fucking useless. No. So that's all it's about. It's about it's about transfer fee.
I am going to skip some of these free hit questions that we've had, because we've answered them in the main pod that went out this morning. So patrons, obviously, you always listen to the existing content.
He hopes.
So if you've asked a question on the free hit that we have talked about already, then forgive me if I skip past, but we do have a ton of questions here. So I'm just going to try and stick to the non-free hit ones. If we have a bit of time, we can always come back to them. Rob Pick asks about John Stones. Should we reintegrate John Stones into the England setup, if you think they will, and who should he play centre-back with? He's been excellent recently, in my opinion. I think the stat I'd heard was, up until obviously the late goal from Hudson-Odoi yesterday, City had only conceded one goal all season when Stones was playing, and that was in the opening game of the season. City's opening game of the season, let's say. So he's been solid as a rock at the back. We keep asking the question week in, week out, when's Laporte coming back? But he ain't. Stones deserves to stay in. Do you think he'll get into the England team?
And the irony is, all the fucking about England centre-halves, yada, 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 since the World Cup, and we might get to the Euros, and it might be the same back three of Harry Maguire, John Stones and Kyle Walker again. To be honest, I'd still pick him with Maguire, personally. They know each other's game. Yep. They played in a back four together for England after obviously playing in that back three / back five at the World Cup. So, I mean, John Stones, his performances at Manchester City over the last month to 6 weeks wouldn't just say, oh, get him back in the England squad. It'd be first choice. He's been phenomenal.
Yep.
And what makes his performances phenomenal is you don't even notice he's there. And that's the thing with John Stones. You always think, oh, he's got a mistake in him. There was one moment yesterday in the game where he played a pass and he followed it through and he was right to. It was okay. And that in a Guardiola team, you can do that. Not that you see City centre-halves in open play situations actually break out much. They don't, because he's a defensive coach and he does worry about it, trust me. But he went and you could see the ball then went to a different side of the pitch and it was like, shall I stay? Do I go back? And he was looking for some instruction. And he went back fast. So he's following instruction and he's just doing simple things at the moment. He's not passing into areas that are putting his teammates at risk. And he's just defending very well. Perfect case in terms of when him and Werner hit the touchline together yesterday and you thought Werner won't beat him. And that's real positive. It'd be a massive positive to get that John Stones back in the England team.
For sure.
I've always maintained for a long time I would have him at Spurs. It's still quality. Just needs proper coaching. And for what might be something that he's been at the team so long that mentally something's triggered now and he's gone, I have to be this. Yep. He's doing it at the moment, playing really well.
Danny McDonald, who's going to be sacked first? Frank, Wilder or Big Sam? Also, it's interesting to see Tomo tweet that he wants Wilder out. I think you get to the point where if you're going to... They're not staying up now. So you have to make a decision, right? We're going to go down and Wilder's the man to get us back up, which Burnley accepted with Sean Dyche, for example. Or you think that Wilder has lost the dressing room to the point that there's just no point in saving it. Chelsea's completely different problem, obviously, with Frank at the moment. And then Big Sam, I think everybody was thinking, okay, Sam's come in, you get that amazing draw against Liverpool, and they've just been slapped both sides of the face two games following. And that's just completely alien to any Big Sam team. Losing 5-0, 4-0 back to back is just not what you expect from him. So I think all three are in trouble. Interesting. I think Frank's least likely to get sacked, put it that way.
I'd say most. On Sheffield United.
In order of, it's chronological though, right? I think Frank will get sacked, but I think they'll wait till the end of the season because they're not going to, you get to the point where you're not going to necessarily, if you're not going to qualify for the top four, you're not going to qualify for the top four. But when are the best managers in the world available? They're more likely to, the person they want is not available, you may as well wait till the summer when it's easier to maybe get someone. Because right now you're looking at who hasn't got a job that we can get our hands on. Should have gone a week earlier. They could have got Poch.
If Chelsea lose to Morecambe at the weekend in the FA Cup, it gets sacked.
Yeah, I mean, they would deserve to if that happens.
After that, their next league game's Fulham away. If it loses at Fulham, it'll probably get sacked.
You think it's so, as bad as that?
Oh, yeah. Fans have turned now. Yeah, they've turned. Because it's been the decline has been for harsh. I'll talk about more Chelsea on tomorrow's pod. But I want to say on Sheffield United... Tomo, obviously, he tweeted, he said Wilder out. I think that was just a heat at the moment thing. Turn your fucking phone off, blood.
It's my wife, mate. That's the thing. I've just cancelled her and I just sent her a message. I'm in a pod.
You can't turn her on anyway. You might as well turn her off.
Can I?
Can you? You want to answer the phone? Go and answer the phone.
No, I don't. I tell you what it is, though. We had a delivery come in. You know, I mentioned to you the other day that we're for our new meeting room in the new studio, we've got a TV arriving, right? And the deliveries are coming, but they're delivering it to my house because of security on the credit card. They'll only deliver it to the address. But I really want to get it set up in the meeting room today so that I can watch Southampton Liverpool and pretend that I'm working late. And it just got delivered. So she's trying to ring me.
Okay, just watch it in your house, mate.
Nah, because I tell you why. And this is interesting, right? Because you've trained your lot much better than I've trained mine. They just
damn
fucking
straight.
Talk too much. They talk too much. Honestly, I was watching the Southampton game downstairs on the telly in the living room. Game's on. And I've just got in my left ear, whatever. I literally gave the TV up to the kids and took my iPad and went to the bedroom and watched it on my little iPad instead because they just talk too much, man. Anyway, I'm so
anyway,
glad. I'm
Chris
so glad
Wilder.
She's not a Patreon. Right here, none of this.
What you don't know, Chris Wilder. Yeah, Tomo tweeted and said Wilder out mid-game, and I think that's an emotional reaction. Doesn't really want Chris Wilder to leave his football club. He's just like, give me something different. I mean, emotionally must be really draining watching that at the moment. And you think you need some change. They won't sack him. I'm convinced of that. By the way, I'm not saying that keeping him is the right decision or sacking him would be the right decision, because I think that 2 points in 17 league games is it's never been done. So
yeah,
I mean, if you remove what he'd achieved pre this season, the man should get sacked, shouldn't he? Unfortunately, as horrible it is. On West Brom, answer me this. Draw with City, draw with Liverpool, draw with Chelsea, lost 1-0 to Man United and Tottenham, and yet their goal difference is minus 28. That goal difference is the same that Bournemouth went down last year. It's also worse than what Watford went down with last year. So, because Sheffield United have been so fucking bad, a lot of us think West Brom will go down, but a lot of us they'll go as well. Because Sheffield United has been so bad, we don't speak about it as so much. I mean, the problem that Sam's got there is they've got so many championship players. They're all championship players. They haven't got a player there you'd look at and you go, oh, he's Premier League quality. If they went down tomorrow, he'd get bought. Even like Pereira, Dean Garner. To be honest, the one that would interest people most, Sam Johnson, as a backup goalkeeper. Oh, because he's English. You wouldn't take any of their team, mate. They are rubbish. They're in trouble. If Sam gets them out of this one, this will really be his best achievement yet.
Harbour Boy, almost halfway through the season, who are each of your picks for Golden Boot?
Harry Kane.
Yeah, I don't think I've changed my opinion on it being Harry Kane. But I think second is Jamie Vardy. I mean, he's the most likely to come close at the moment. From my point of view,
Salah's top at the moment now, mate.
Yeah.
Bruno Fernandes only two behind. Fernandes got more than Kane.
True, I didn't think about Salah. I think Harry Kane, I mean, it's going to be similar to a couple of years ago, right? Very tight. Only one or two goals maybe in it.
When Tottenham have that triple game week in 37 with like Fulham twice and Kane's like six goals off first, he's going to go fucking mental. You'll get seven goals in a triple game week, mate.
Save your triple captainship. That's exactly what it's about. Cal, the keeper, says, it seemed as though many, including myself, were waiting for Man City to perform before jumping on their assets. Is their performance at Chelsea exactly that? Give us a short answer, James, because we'll give it a full rundown on the main pod tomorrow. But it felt like, I mean, Kevin De Bruyne particularly has been trying to run a game for ages and nothing else around him has clicked. And yesterday it felt like everybody else was finally in sync. I know what you're saying. I mean, having Phil Foden in that position suddenly helped just because of the way he plays football and what have you. It felt like, yeah, what they were trying to do for so many weeks worked yesterday.
Short answer. That last half hour, the first half, was best City have played since they were champions. Unbelievable. Phenomenal. They'd have ripped anyone in that. And to be honest, the first 15 minutes, that first half yesterday, Chelsea were a better team. We'll talk about that a bit tomorrow as well. Long answer, but short in terms of the fixtures and jumping on their assets. that was an inevitability anyway because of the fixtures. That them fixtures cannot be ignored. So yeah. 19 is a problem for me now. I mean, I bought John Stones for 17 and he stayed in the team. And okay, now I've got one. That's a start. But my idea was always to sell it to De Bruyne in 20 to attack after the double. Now, obviously, City have got a double. You can make a strong case for making that transfer now. I think De Bruyne is the best captain in game week 20 now, in my opinion.
We have here Harbour Boy. Several big teams seem to have some sort of dissent. Grumpy players, a lack of unity at the moment. But which team do you think has the best team spirit at the moment? What are your thoughts?
Oh, that's a good question. Best team spirit at the moment.
You know, when I read the question, the first thing that comes to mind is, what's my club's team spirit like? You know, you always have to refer it back to actually, where do we fit into that? And I think we're doing really well at the moment in terms of where we are. I think that Moyes did the right thing in getting rid of Anderson in the summer, who was never quite there or thereabouts, letting the likes of Wilshere go, just fuck it off, pay him off and let him be gone. And then when you've got the likes of like Yarmolenko, Lanzini and stuff on the bench week in, week out, you can quite often, that's when you start seeing players that are pissed off or not or what. And we haven't seen any of that, although Lanzini's in a bit of trouble now, partying with your boys. But yeah, I don't think we're doing too badly. But I think Wolves, you never hear anything coming out of Wolves particularly.
If you'd have asked me that question 2 or 3 weeks ago, I'd have had a very straightforward answer to that. Not so much now. It would have been Southampton. Because they all buy into the ideology of the manager and the way they want to play. And obviously since then, Ings got an injury, although he's now back again. Vestergaard's injury. It's probably a little bit of a blow. They obviously haven't scored in 3 games. You don't quite know where their morale's at. But I mean, if they win tonight, for example, then I'd say them. Southampton. Yeah, they'll for team spirit, you need to buy into the manager's philosophy of what he wants to do. So, I mean, that would put you into, you know, Leeds would be another one maybe you want to put on the list. Although I think I wouldn't be surprised if there's a few players who play through that and go, fucking hell, I could do with a day off, you know. Leicester. Now they've got players back fit. Madison's making a difference. Vardy's fit. They've only got Pereira missing now, and they're basically full strength. So I think Leicester, Villa, they've obviously had a great season. Dean Smith's done a wonderful job with them this season. So those are the clubs I've put in there. I'd probably say team spirit-wise, I'd probably say Southampton.
Question here from Rob Pick, but I don't think we can do it. However, I'm just going to make a point here, Sir Robert of Barnsington. He put some questions into the Q&A, James, that are really good questions, but also really fucking long. So, what is your team of 2020? 11 players, any formation you like. I almost feel like that's a 20-minute, 30-minute. If we were to do a special or just have a kind of look at that, we could do a 20-minute pod on it.
Neuer, Kimmich, Boateng, Alaba, Davies, Thiago, Goretzka, Gnabry, Müller, Koeman, Lewandowski. What's the next question?
The next question is from Benny Blanco. And I do like this question. James, genuine question, and it's for you specifically. Have you ever considered doing your coaching badges and managing at any level? I played alongside and then was managed by a mate of mine, Neil Young, who is actually the manager of Marine and up against your lot in the FA Cup. I don't know if he can get you any hospitality down at the Marine Stadium, mate.
If I can even fucking leave my front door at the moment, mate.
He started as an amateur men's side and he's gone on to manage Chester and now Marine. Do you fancy pitting your chances?
Right, Benny, listen. Speak to Neil and see if he's available for a podcast this week, mate. Simple as that. We'll have a proper chat with Neil. We'll talk Marine.
Done.
Yeah, ask him. Such has been sacked for the Friday pod or something.
Yeah, whatever.
I've got an
82-inch to watch some games on right now, mate.
Ask your mate. When you start dropping things in like your mate, well, you're my mate as well. See if your mate will come on my podcast, mate. Have I ever done? No. The problem with me, serious, right? Tottenham is restricted everything I've done in my life.
It's true.
Why am I going to go and coach someone? Oh, I can't watch Tottenham on Saturday. I won't do it then.
You know, a lot of the media channels out there, like Spencer FC or whatever, and I think his club's called Hashtag FC.
That's right.
And then the guys from AFTV, they have their Sunday league teams and whatever. And there's a couple of others out there as well. They do branch into it. I'm not joking, mate. Like, if I could run the boardroom and you could run the shit on the pitch, we'd have a fucking Champions League winning team, mate. Trust me.
Yeah, quite possibly. I wouldn't rule it out in terms of, like maybe my boy's team or something when he's a bit older or something, maybe. But to be honest, everything I've done in my life, from work, social, everything, has always been dictated by Tottenham. And that's why it's never happened for me.
I'll be honest with you, from a personal point of view, I quite enjoy I don't need this excessively stressful life. And football as an industry, especially when you get to semi-pro, pro, is quite ruthless. You see it with agents and players and all that kind of stuff. I just don't think I'd ever want to get involved with that ruthless side of the sport. And we do what we do out of enjoyment. So I think as much as we joke, it seems
the way I talk about tactics, and if I could, the joy of ideally being able to develop a footballer would be great. I mean, you know it from work, right? Mm. So if you can develop someone who hasn't got the skills, who then turns out to be great, right? Same thing, right? So yeah, I would love to have done it. I'm not saying never.
Yep.
But it's probably something now, you know, like I said, when my boy's old enough, if he plays for a team or something, I might get involved with some things maybe. But no, it was never on the table. I enjoyed the little bit of time I did have getting drunk.
We've got a question in from Chris Bradley. Hypothetical question for James. I don't know why he doesn't. Yeah, I know. Okay, this season, would you rather win the League Cup in front of a full Wembley, i.e. you are there, or win the FA Cup and Europa League in front of no crowd? It's got to be FA Cup and Europa League, surely.
It's a very straightforward question. And Europa League gets me Champions League as well, so...
Yeah, I feel like...
It's very straightforward.
As much as you want to see the team lift the trophy, I think the importance of the better competitions is much.
I would also say, what's the possibility of me being at a full Wembley for the League Cup final, but an empty Wembley for the FA Cup final? Is highly unlikely. So the question doesn't really work. I could even narrow that down and say, would you rather win the League Cup in front of a full stadium, or would you rather win the Europa League and not be there? I would rather win the Europa League and not be there, and get my football club on a better long-term footing, definitely.
Ray Qureshi, this is a free hit question, but we'll answer it very easily. He's got 9 players for the blank game week. You tell me if you think these are strong enough. Martinez, Lowton, Stones, Target, ESM? Who's ESM?
Smith Rowe.
Emil Smith. Okay, I'm assuming. Bruno, KDB, Son, DCL. I probably do, won't it?
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
It's fine. You've got a couple in there that you wouldn't have on the free hit, but then you haven't got the luxury, right? I think that's going to be so much better than most. I mean, if I could get to 7 and I liked the 7, I wouldn't bother, personally.
Pirlo's pen. Would Buendia be a top signing for Arsenal?
Chances creation-wise, etc., it all appeals in terms of Arsenal's lack of creativity, yada, yada, yada. I would just, for Gunners, I'd say take a step back and go, right, you're going to buy this guy, he's going to improve your team. Like, is he better than Smith Rowe? Or is he better than Mesut Ozil trying to get Gunnosaurus back into work and stuff? Yes, Emi Buendia is. Is Emi Buendia the number 10 that's going to make you a Champions League contending team again? The answer for me on that would probably be no. So it's short-sightedness. And Arsenal should target better, in my opinion. He's a good player, don't get me wrong. And he might be that he's one of them where, with respect to Norwich, he's been playing with generally poor players, and he plays with better players like Aubameyang Blank and Lacazette and stuff, and he looks a better player. But I think Arsenal should be targeting better, actually. I think you pay for what you get for in January, and if that's who they end up paying, then it's because no one else is available. I must say, I saw Mark FBL Badger tweeted earlier, and he's like, he'd be going nowhere this window. So Norwich won't sell players in this window because it's far more important rather than take
to get back in the Premier League.
To get back in the league.
Yeah, man.
They'd actually rather keep them and say, okay, fine, we're back. All right, go. Yeah. And we'll replace you. He's more likely. So I don't think Norwich will sell unless the money is stupid. And to make a good transfer happen in January, generally the money has to be stupid.
Amrabat Man Joe, I'm picking up this story late, James, so maybe you know a little bit more about it than me, but this seems quite a bit of fun. What are your thoughts on Ben Foster's YouTube channel? Obviously, the videos aren't videos are a great watch, but personally, I have no problem with him having a GoPro in his goal, but him joking about it on Twitter hasn't gone down well with Watford fans.
Never seen any of these videos?
Nah, not even one, mate.
It's worth a look when you got 5-10 minutes. They're all right. I've only seen a couple myself.
Well, what does he do? Does he talk to the GoPro whilst he's in goal?
Yes, basically.
Just chatting shit.
Yeah, but he puts a camera in the goal.
Yeah, looking at himself. But he should be watching the game.
He's not turning around and like doing fucking selfies and playing with his hair and stuff in the camera. Of course not. But obviously things happen in the game and it's quite interesting. You know, you get to hear conversations at defending corners and stuff like
okay,
that.
Okay, exactly.
He's quite interesting.
Does he beat the swear words back here in hell? Must do.
I'm not sure, actually.
He's a professional footballer.
I'm not. I've not watched it for a few months. But basically, and I haven't seen it yet, conceded a goal at Swansea at the weekend. Great little goal. I don't know who it was scored. But he's run past Foster and he's given the old pointy into the fucking camera, isn't he?
Yeah,
put this one on YouTube, mate, mugging him off.
Yeah.
And to be fair, Foster sent a tweet out about like deciding whether he should put that in his YouTube video or not. Now, if you're a Watford fan, it's like, hang on, not performed well here, lost the game. This is a bit more serious rather than your YouTube channel. So I think it depends. It's like anything that's social media coverage and relatable to a specific team, you know, AFTV being the ultimate judge of this. That when it's going bad, it's like, shut the fuck up, mate, and go and win football matches. But when it's going all right, then it's like, oh, okay, this is nice. We get a little bit more insight into the club and stuff. So I don't know what he's meant to do. Possibly the tweet's a little bit ill-advised. Just put the video on YouTube and do your thing, etc. But he's trying to obviously set himself up for when his career, which is very nearly finished, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's been around a while, hasn't he? So,
yeah.
Okay, let's rattle through a couple more questions here. I had one up in front of me. Free hit. So we've got two questions that are similar, James. Curious_cat and also a second Rob Pitt question, or third, I have no idea. To be aggressive on a game week 18 free hit, which attacking formation would you use? 3-5-2 or 3-4-3? That's Kat's question. And Rob's saying feelings on a 4-5-1 free hit. Not sure if it's covered on the pod. I'll be listening later. But I don't see a lot of strikers that I expect to haul.
No, I haven't wed myself to any formation yet. And like I said, I mean, I named a front three earlier of Wilson, Lacazette, Cavani, which if they all start, I'd think, that's for that particular... If that was your front three in FPL, I haven't got any hair, but you tear out whatever was left. But for that one game week, that could be a really good front three. And that's part of the idea of the front three. But I think the idea of going with Josta Wilson or Josta Lacazette on a 5-4-1 or 4-5-1, I don't hate. The other thing is it does allow you probably quite comfortably then to go Fernandes, De Bruyne, Sterling, Son, for example. So I wouldn't rule out any, and probably Grealish, if you want to go 4-5-1. I wouldn't rule out any formation as yet, personally. It's so long to go. I did a draft for the sake of the podcast earlier and I didn't spend any time on it. It was just, okay, who do I fancy? Yep, that works financially. Cool, great. I don't expect that to be my team come this time next week, to be honest. Yep. I'll have another proper look before we pod on Friday.
And let's leave the last question of the episode to Baz, talking about yesterday's game because it was posted after it finished. Is Werner just ... not very good?
One of the things my wife really hates is when I pull out the old rewind button. I'm like, babe, watch this.
Okay.
Like when the fucking dickhead kicked the corner flag and fell over, like to completely compound his day. Chelsea Football Club, where strikers go to die, may I suggest.
Timo Werner's not a bad player.
No.
He hasn't turned crap overnight.
No, Timo Werner is not a bad player. Christian Pulisic is not a bad player. Kai Havertz, not a bad player. Hakim Ziyech, same. Rinse, repeat. However, with Werner and Havertz in particular, if you did not know better from the Bundesliga, and I know having watched Werner play against Tottenham in the Champions League last year that he's definitely a good player, you would not be convinced on what you've seen so far. The only pro to Timo Werner and what I've seen in league games so far is that he's in positions. He's getting in positions to score. And being central, that should help. Chelsea picked the team yesterday that all their fans wanted them to pick. I don't know, you know, and that's another reason why the fans are so annoyed now. They're now, oh, who do I blame now? Shit, that's the front three I actually wanted.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was fucking worse.
The thing with Werner, like you're saying, yeah, he's getting in positions and firing off shots. I put a cheeky bet on yesterday on De Bruyne, Sterling and Werner to have at least one shot on target each. Because he does fire off a lot of shots and he gets himself in positions. I thought it's a fair assumption that he will have a shot on target. I don't think he managed one all game.
I think so.
Man, and obviously I didn't win my money, but who cares? It's just he's not a bad
Havertz,
player.
Havertz, honestly, he looks like a lost dog, mate. He looks lost. He wouldn't be anywhere near that team at the moment. He hasn't up for it. His body language when he plays. I've never seen him speak on the pitch. It could be language problems. I get that. But, I mean, look, here's the thing, right? It's interesting about this. Werner, Havertz, Pulisic, all torn up the Bundesliga, yeah? Right. So, presumably, there's a common language they can all speak between the three of them should they play together. So, what kind of manager should Chelsea be looking at next?
Well,
should they sack their manager?
It was a segue into FPL Liverpool, Lauren's question.
Here we go.
Lampard is clearly struggling to get the best out of his big money signings at present. If you were asked to hire a new manager and could pick any in the world, who do you think could make the biggest impact on the squad with their style of management? Obviously, remember, Rudiger's in there as well as German.
Yeah, forget that. I would bet money that if Lampard got sacked tomorrow, they'd go for Thomas Tuchel. I'd bet money on that. To fit in exactly what I've said, Bundesliga style, you've got these talents that have come from there, make that work. I could see that. I don't think that'd be the best appointment. It's very difficult to fuck things up at PSG, and so far this season he's contrived to do so, actually. Although I think the management of egos like Neymar is probably not easy. I think Chelsea would be better off going down the route of something more experienced, like Massimo Allegri, for example, which they've got the Wonga to pay top salary and stuff and attract a top manager. I think that would be better for them. But I could see Tuchel. I could definitely see that. And do you know what? They'll be fun. They'll be fun. The Dortmund team that we played when Tuchel was manager of them, we played them in Europa League and then the Champions League was very, very good. Very good team. And I would probably want to judge him more on that than how it ended at PSG. It's easy to forget. He very nearly won the Champions League, right? So
true.
I could see him going for Tuchel. I could see that link happening. Indeed. Or Tuchel, however you want to pronounce it.
Tuchel. There we go. And that's a decent Q&A. Thank you, everybody, for your questions. I think it's nice because there's a lot of variety in there, James. I feel like it was a lot of different football.
It's basically so much better than the Twitter responses I'll get to my tweet tonight. I can already tell you that now.
Indeed. Well, that's tonight. Why the patrons
how many players should I free hit with? How many players is good for a bench boost? I've never thought of answering these questions before, honestly.
Indeed. Patrons, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back at you tomorrow. What's the pod tomorrow, James?
Sheffield Wednesday, Planet EFL tomorrow, Sheffield Wednesday on a little bit of a historical, the big decline since the 2000 Premier League relegation, the current situation, about to go into the season with their third manager very shortly. It's all a bit of a mess, kind of links back to the docking of points. Should they have got thrown down last season? It's murky stuff. We'll get into some bits.
Lovely jubbly. Okie dokie. Well, stay tuned wherever you are and look after yourselves. Have a lovely evening. We'll be back at you tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.